This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
In what has been an interesting Joe Flacco day, I think I saw in your Sports Illustrated article earlier today, or wherever you've been writing, I think it was a Sports Illustrated one. Is that right?
Yeah, that's where I did put a story up today over there.
So you're in like 12 million spots, but you had something along the lines of like, you might not have a fever today. You'll have Flacco fever. And I thought to myself, I'm like, I kind of do feel a little under the weather. Like, did I?
It's an epidemic, JP.
Is that what this is? I've been feeling bad for a couple weeks.
It's making waves in Cleveland.
Yeah, so a lot of Flacco fever today. And by the way, you can Odyssey Rewind about 2 o'clock as I just poured cold water on the entire idea of Joe Flacco's existence. If there was any other way to, I don't know any other way to put it.
Well, hey, it's fitting that you and I agree so much on Shador Sanders. I believe you and I also agreed on the idea that, like, we kind of just wanted Joe Flacco to be because we wanted to remember him for who he was in 2023 and nothing else. Didn't you have that take too?
That's exactly it. Like I don't want it. You're going to sour the experience. If you loved him in 2023, you're going to sour everything that you loved about that man. And he's going to, if he does get a chance to play, he's going to go out and it's going to stink up the joint because he's 41 years old and you're just going to end up hating him. And you're going to end up being like, wait, I like this so much better when I had a positive remembrance of him. It's like if you dated someone for a few months and it was a great relationship and you're like, wow, like that was nice. Too bad it didn't work out. But like, I really enjoyed that. Like, you would look back fondly on it. And then a couple years later, they come back into your life. But you date for like a month and was like, why? What did I ever see in this person?
So kind of like the Karen Reed situation. Have you watched that documentary at all?
No.
Oh, I'll have to give you a call. We'll have to talk about it after we talk to Lance.
Give me the TLDR. Lance can wait for a second. Coach Riz, we'll get to you in a second. What's the TLDR?
That's Karen,
too long, didn't read, by the way.
There's this case that happened in Boston where this woman named Karen Reed, I think it was her fiance. I think they were engaged at the time. He died mysteriously in like this blizzard. And they couldn't prove if she like hit him with her car, like if it was an accident or if it was like this, like a, cause he was a police officer. And if it was like this dirty cop situation, cause they were at somebody's house at like a bunch of the cops that lived there. And so there was this whole case. They ended up calling it a mistrial. She's on trial again. But the reason I compared it to that is because apparently him and her, the man who died, John.
Yeah. I regret asking.
Karen Reed. Yeah. They dated initially like in high school or something. And then like they went their separate ways and then came back together. And now he ends up dead. So that to your point, like if the situation ends part of the relationship ends with somebody dead, I think you'd probably regret
that's
that.
Not yes. Great. That's a spoiler
let's
alert.
Hope,
not
let's
great.
Hope this doesn't end with Joe Flacco dead though. That'd be terrible.
It's what How I Met Your Mother called the return is what it was. So Spencer's been doing a lot of murder mystery lately. And that's nice
my
to learn.
My wife watched it. She was like, you got to watch it. And I was like, okay.
If I had a dollar for every murder mystery I watched.
Turned your wife under the bus there.
Well, no.
She was like, you got to watch it. I want to know if you think she did it or not.
Most
I was like, okay.
Of the time, I would be like, you're copping out to your wife. You actually want to watch those shows. But women love those shows.
They do.
There's no other way to put it. The true crime world is a billion-dollar industry because women love those shows, and my wife loves them just the same way that your wife loves them. All right, let's go out to North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Sorry to keep you waiting. Coach Riz, Cleveland.com, joins us here on The Fan. What's up, Coach?
Hey, how are you guys? No, I the murder mysteries, I'm in. It's not just a wife thing. I'm all in, too.
Well, then you got to watch this Karen Reed story. HBO Max.
I was wondering how you're going to bring that full circle there. I thought you did a pretty nice job there. It was... the connection. I liked it. It was you brought it full circle at the end there. Very
so
well done.
I can't imagine you watching those, Coach, and only because I've known you long enough. But I think you
want me to interrupt my film studying to watch this.
Not only that, but the idea that like you wouldn't just watch that and be like, oh, I guess that guy's the murderer. You'd want to dissect it. You'd want to break down the tape of the murderer.
Yeah, it gets a little. I try to figure it out too early. I got to let it happen. That's not a bad call right there, because I get a little anxious. I'm trying to figure it out early. The early scouting report never worked in those shows, though.
No, you need the all 22 of the murder in order to figure out what exactly happened. All right, Coach.
Oh, that all 22. I'm in for that. That'd be good.
All right, tell us the latest with Joe Flacco, the geriatric that the Browns signed today.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I had the same conversation in terms of like, I don't want to say be careful what you wish for, but he is 40 years old. And, you know, I think the thing that is going to maybe be the caveat here is the fact that he's been in this offense. And the big thing for me is it tells me the Browns are going back to what they do. And the exciting part for me is that, first of all, they can get a back. This offense allows a lot of backs, not just Nick Chubb, Ford. But if they can get a heavy back in there, then get him to second six, it can help the quarterback. I've said it for a couple weeks now. The important thing is that first down for whoever the quarterback is. Now that he knows the offense, that should help a little bit. But more importantly, it's going to make that offensive line better because they're back to what they do really, really well. Should make the running game as a whole much better. It should make Jerry Jeudy better because they're going to be in 13 personnel, which tells you the defense is going to have regular personnel in the game. So not just the signing of Joe Flacco for what he's going to do, which I think he'll be okay. They can't ask him to do too much. That's really what it comes down to. You know, he had 8 turnovers when he played, and then two big ones in the playoff game. He's got to protect the football. That's one of the keys for the quarterback, whoever it is. So, I don't want to say I'm disappointed. I was a Kirk Cousins fan. I know I might be on a mountain there. Just the same kind of thing, though. The idea of knowing the offense allows these guys to play full speed and maybe get some, not get off to such slow starts in games.
So Lance, JP and I talked earlier about this idea that signing Flacco, I think, actually leaves the door very much open on the Browns taking Shedeur Sanders at 2, because it sort of sets up this bridge situation where Flacco's here for a year and can kind of set the tone for a rookie, and then that person takes over. But we know the Browns have been linked to some other names at 2 right now. From your perspective, does the Flacco signing change anything in terms of their potential interest in Shedeur? And I guess it's like a two-parter here. If they don't take Sanders at 2, who is next in line for you that you think they should target as a quarterback in the rookie realm?
Well, you know, if I was thinking about, I don't think it changes what they're thinking. I have gotten the vibe over the last 3 or 4 weeks that they're not real high on any of these guys. I think they're higher on Cam than they are on Shedeur. I think Shedeur fits their scheme a little bit more. I think they've gone back and forth with that. But you don't get I didn't get the, like, when people are interested, you can kind of feel that. And not that they haven't been super interested, but I can see them, more importantly, maybe taking a guy late, but I can see them not taking a quarterback at all and wait until 26. However, if I had to pick a guy, I would go with Tyler Shuck. And I know, again, people are like, Jackson Dart. For me, it's his age helps him in the situation he's going to be in. The Browns are not in a, we got to rebuild and get this going. These coaches in this administration, they got to win right now. And I think obviously Flacco can help with that. I think Tyler Shuck is a pretty polished guy, especially in the pocket. Some of the things that he's asked to do, this offense that Kevin Stefanski likes, sometimes it limits an elite guy from getting to his, getting to that 10. But it also helps a guy who's maybe not elite not be a 1 and can kind of keep him at a 5 to a 7. And that's kind of what the Browns need. I think Flacco can start off with that. I still think Kenny Pickett can be okay in terms of that. But signing Pickett and then signing Flacco, I wouldn't be shocked if they don't take a quarterback at all.
All right, let's focus on Shuck for a second, though, because I find that fascinating. You know, multiple people in the past week have told me that if Shuck was 21 years old, he'd be the best quarterback in this class. Now, you do have to ding him for being as old as he is, because, you know, part of evaluating and getting these guys, to where you project them out to be is the idea that, let's say, 22-year-old Shedeur Sanders isn't going to be the same at 25. He's going to get better and better with age. How much do you ding a quarterback based off of age and what we just described?
You know, I don't, and here's why. Because back when, you know, we go back to like the Brand Whedon stuff, you know, there was such a difference between what colleges were doing and what NFL teams were doing back when Whedon was the quarterback, right? When he came out, he's 28 years old. These quarterbacks are so well-versed now in terms of what they're seeing, and, you know, and obviously Shador Sanders had Pat Shurmur, but Tyler Shuck, he's such a complete quarterback with his footwork, his ability to throw the football, and really the only negative thing I've heard about him in terms of what people hold their hat on is his age. And for me, that age comes into it if there's going to be a huge learning curve when he gets there. He played for Brohm, and Brohm's one of my favorite offensive coordinators. He's played from underneath center. He's had multiple play calls in the huddle. They huddle up at Louisville. They go fast. So he's had some NFL types things that he's going to get. So there's not that much of a learning curve where he's going to come in at 25, 26 years old, have to learn everything, have to learn the footwork from underneath center, have to learn what a high-low read is, have to, you know, have the snap count. You know, some of these guys come into the NFL and they've never done anything but clap their hands in a snap count. So all that stuff takes time to learn, and I think Tyler Shuck does that very, very well. In terms of what he does well on the field, his ability to throw the ball in tight windows, anticipation, accuracy, it's closer to Shador Sanders. I have that closer to Shador Sanders than most people do. I think he's elite, and I think if he comes in and he can play within a year, all right, so you got a guy, if you're telling me this guy's going to be really good for 6 to 8 years, I think people would take that, especially if you're going to take him in the later rounds, right? I don't know. His skill set, to me, matches what Kevin Stefanski wants to do offensively. He's not a big improviser. He's not a guy who's going to do his own thing, but that's what Kevin Stefanski likes. So I'm real high on Shuck. I think Jackson Dart has a pretty good high ceiling, but there's no one more hot and cold than Jackson Dart. After those two, Tyler Shuck is the guy I like the best.
Lance Risland, Cleveland.com, joining us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Going back to the number two pick, obviously the tides have sort of shifted towards the Browns maybe honing in on Travis Hunter. Do you believe that he can succeed at playing both ways in the NFL? And if he does specialize, where do you think the Browns should prioritize using him?
Well, you know, my thing is with, you know, obviously being a high school football coach, a lot of us who coach at that level, you have guys who play both ways. And what we try to do when I was coaching is we try to get a guy to go one and a half ways. And you sit down as a staff and you say, all right, where can he take his rest if he needs a rest? Or where can he not get as much contact? And that's what they got to figure out. So, you know, it goes either way. If they're going to use him as a corner 100%, then don't make it complicated on offense. Get him the ball in space. Get him to green grass. He's a touch guy. He's not a position. He's not a receiver. He's not a running back. You're going to put him wherever it is to get touches or use him as a decoy. Same thing on offense. If you're going to make him just an offensive guy, then defensively he comes in and he plays man. He doesn't have to learn a lot of his own coverage. He can just use his elite, elite ball skills, his elite short area bursts, his ability, his fluid hips. Then you just put him in man coverage. You bring him in and you go Deion Sanders style where you're going to, you know, bring him in, maybe put him on the slot, or you're going to make him take the best receiver when he comes in the game. But whatever side he's not 100% in, don't make it complicated for him. Just allow him to use it. Don't overcoach it, right? Just get him the ball in space if he's on offense and let him cover in man on defense and then go from there. Because once again, if you're thinking your feet aren't moving, that's part of his success, is just allowing him to be a raw athlete out there. And he's as good as it gets athletically. When you watch the film on him, he's pretty special in his movement skills.
Coach, an interesting name floated around today with the, you know, the comeback of Joe Flacco is maybe the Browns would go back to some former players that used to be on this team that they've already sent packing. One of them was Amari Cooper, though, and I don't know what you think. That's why I'm asking. I think he's cooked like a rotisserie chicken. I think there's nothing left. I'd be surprised if there's any juice left at all. But do you feel like the Browns should be back in the Amari Cooper business?
Well, I will say this about Amari Cooper. He did not play well when he left, but his skill set, that's why I was always shocked that, you know, the teams that got rid of him, his skill set is not based on raw speed. His skill set is fundamentals and technique, right? He attacks hips, he attacks shoulders, he attacks blind spots, he understands coverage. He's never been a blazer, so that's usually what takes people away. He's really good. That's usually what makes, you know, receivers kind of, you know, fall off the cliff as they get older in their career, especially if they're a blazer. He's never been that. So I do think within a system, the structured system, he could have some success, but I really think the Browns need an influx of talent. Now having a veteran guy in there, that's okay with me too, but they got to get some guys. Right now the Browns on offense have to do everything perfectly to score. And you saw last year with penalties and things like that. That happens at all levels. And people are saying the Browns are undisciplined. That's offense. And I tell everybody all the time, if you have to go 10 to 12 plays every time you touch the football, you know, you're going to do something wrong. You're going to hold, you're going to, you know, you're going to do something. Every once in a while, you got to not do things right. And a guy just makes a play for you. And that's the kind of guy, you know, a Luther Burden from Missouri and Buka, guys who can just get the ball in space and make some plays for you without everybody else having to be perfect. But Cooper, I think, could help the room, you know, and I think that's, that can't be overstated, but they got to have some guys who make some plays in space without everything being perfect.
All right, Coach, we'll let you get back to those murder mysteries.
Yeah, go go watch about Karen Reed. Find out if think. Tell me if you think she did it or not.
And
all right, I will check that out for sure. I got some. We got it's a great time of year. We got lots of film. Day three guys are my favorite. So
I don't believe you. By the way, I don't believe you're going to watch a murder mystery when the draft is 2 weeks away. I just don't believe you.
After the draft, I'm going to get a text from Lance one night. He's going to be like, "I think she did it." I'm going to know exactly.
You're going to know. It'll be like 3.5 years from now. And then it'll be like, I finally got around to it. That was a great recommendation by you. Thank you so much. It's like, I just had to
might not be on trial anymore.
I was stuck on seventh tight ends for the 2028 class for a while. We finally got over it. Thank you so much for the recommendation. Thanks, Coach.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. I'll talk soon. See you guys.
Love it. Thank you.